L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Week 15 is in the books. Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined as I am every Sunday night so far, not too many more, by my friends Andrew Erickson and Dr. Deepak Chona. Erickson, this is actually yours and my last show together for these Sunday recap shows for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I know. Like, what better way than my Patriots just absolutely nuking the last play of their game to basically just not force overtime, come away with the big L. Ramondre Stevenson had a big game, so if people started him despite the injury, he paid off.
We were talking in the pre-show how you see that type of ending to a game maybe once a season across the entire NFL, and of course it came against your Patriots. I would be despondent if that happened 10 minutes ago against the Ravens, so I admire you for coming
on. I mean, I just
on.
Turned off the TV. I was like, right, I'm done.
of course. I mean, what else can you do at that point? Deepak, first round of the fantasy playoffs here for most leagues. How did Week 15 treat you?
I'm playing against Jalen Hurts and Zay Jones, so not too nicely, to say the least. I'm still having an outside
shot. A lot
of
touchdowns.
Yeah.
Man, a rough day. For me, the rough day was yesterday with the Ravens loss in primetime, kind of, on Saturday. Then Erickson, now Deepak's fantasy team. It's been a brutal weekend for us. Hopefully the people tuning in are tuning in because either they want to commiserate with us or because maybe they had a good day. One of the few people who actually had an enjoyable Week 15. It was a lot of really fun games, at least. We will jump right into it here. For those watching this show live on YouTube, thank you. We will be here every Sunday night around 7:45 Eastern. As I said, that's only a couple more weeks, and it's no more weeks for Erickson, so enjoy him while he's here. If you're watching us here on youtube.com/fantasypros, please give us a like and be sure to subscribe to help us out. If you enjoy our content, click the bell to get notified of all of our latest podcasts, short videos, and live streams. For the folks listening on the podcast, don't forget we are live each and every Sunday night, so you can watch us along with every other Fantasy Pros podcast over on our YouTube channel. Again, that's youtube.com/fantasypros. We have a couple of giveaways too. The winner of the autographed Trayvon Diggs, let me pull it up here, helmet, is Bradley Buettler. So Bradley, please get in touch. Brady Buettler, please get in touch, Brady, with our customer support agents at mailbag@fantasypros.com with your mailing address and proof of your subscription to the Fantasy Pros channel. We will get that jersey shipped out to you. Again, the winner is Brady Buettler. Congratulations, and that's courtesy of pristineauction.com. Now that we've given that away, let's do another one. If you want a chance to win a signed, free Deebo Samuel 11x14 photo, courtesy, again, of our friends at Pristine Auction, you need to subscribe to the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel right now. Comment below on this video, and that's it. Make sure to turn on notifications so you know when new videos drop and find out if you won. As everybody watching on YouTube can probably tell, I am in a different place than I usually am today. I'm here with my dear friends in North Carolina. They are putting their young son to bed right now, so I want to apologize ahead of time if there are any screams or any noise that here in the background. You know, I appreciate them putting me up, and we'll be forgiven of that. Let's get into the injuries here, Deepak. Not a ton of them to talk about. In fact, to sort of fill the space, we're going to talk about a couple of injuries from Saturday's games. Let's start with the biggest one, of course, and that was Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, so Taylor hurt his ankle, and this is actually a re-aggravation of the ankle that was lingering and causing some missed games earlier this year. So with the Colts losing, he's going to be facing an elevated re-injury risk if he goes out there. If I were managing them, I would be shutting him down, thinking that I don't want to risk any long-term damage to the ankle while it's injury prone.
So would you say, like, what scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that he would get shut down just externally?
Well, I think he would be at least missing games more so than he would normally if they were in the playoff hunt. So yeah. I think there's a high chance of that. I would say probably 50-50 they shut him down altogether.
Erickson, going into this game, if you told me he was going to miss time, Taylor, then I think our natural instinct would have been to say, well, Deion Jackson is probably the guy to step up. Instead, it was Zach Moss getting all of the work. What do you make of that? Is that the guy you would target if you're a Taylor owner who somehow still is progressing to the next round of the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so. I think they showed us that they would prefer to use Zach Moss on early downs. I think that Deion Jackson's still the guy they prefer to use as a receiver out of the backfield. Now, the amount of volume he got in this last game on Saturday, it really has to do with the game script. Like, they were up 33-0, so it made all the sense the world just, like, feed their running back. But even, like, the first drive, Jonathan Taylor's out of the game, Zach Moss is in at the goal line. I was very confused. I was like, why is Zach Moss in the game? Like, it's like he got stuffed. I'm like, that's what they get for not giving the ball to Jonathan Taylor. And then, like, 5 seconds later, I'm like, oh, wait, he's injured. Like, that's why they're doing that. Like, okay. But for me, Zach Moss would be the pickup. Look at the next two matchups the Colts have. Chargers, Giants, two teams you can run the football on.
For sure. The other Saturday one was Jalen Waddle. He left the game. I think he did return. I'm not totally sure. Deepak, can you weigh in on that one?
Yeah, so Waddle returned. They were listing him as a forearm injury. Not a lot of details on this one, but the good news is that most upper extremity injuries, especially if he's able to return to practice on Wednesday, won't have any performance impact going forward.
Let's look at the couple of quarterbacks that got banged up in today's action. We'll start with Justin Fields, who has really carried fantasy managers in the second half of the season. He had, I think it was a hamstring issue. I'm not entirely sure what they diagnosed it as, but he did return to the game. So, Deepak, just in terms of what you saw with the initial injury and then what you saw how he looked when he came back, what do you make of that injury for the next couple of weeks?
Yes, for Justin Fields, I'm not anticipating much performance impact here going forward. It looked to me like he was cramping up based on the way he was limping, plus the way they stretched him out on the sidelines. So the rapid return is promising, and not as long as he returns to practice early this week, not thinking this is probably just cramps.
Erickson, just because so much of his value comes from the mobility and this is a lower body thing, are you at all concerned starting him next week if he were to be active?
I mean, I think you're going to just roll with him regardless. I mean, you can be concerned, but you know, the best players just play through these injuries and they perform. So I think I just keep rolling with them.
And then Ryan Tannehill, the other quarterback who left, it looked a lot worse in the moment. He was carted to the locker room, I think with a foot injury, but he also returned to the game, Deepak.
Yeah, the way his ankle bent on the video, it's pretty convincing for a high ankle mechanism. He was able to return. He did look like he was limping a little bit at points in the fourth quarter. With his play style, very pocket-based, you can still kind of get away with that. Most quarterbacks would miss 1 to 2 games, but I would expect Tannehill at this point in the season to keep trying to play through it.
Erickson, we're not really starting any of the skill position guys in Tennessee outside of Derrick Henry anyways. So, I mean, does this hurt the sleeper appeal of like a Chigakonkwo, or is there really no impact here if Tannehill is banged up or even misses games?
I think it's just a reminder, just like stash Malik Willis, like in two quarterback leagues because he runs. And it's like, we've seen him start a couple games. I know they haven't been great, but just another guy to potentially stash if, you know, Tannehill does miss some time.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Zonovan Knight, Travis Etienne, Austin Eckler, they all left their games but did return. And then just very quickly, Colt McCoy, concussion. We're not really overly concerned about his fantasy value, but Erickson, if McCoy misses any time and it's Trace McSorley in Arizona, how much are you dropping guys like Hollywood Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, James Conner, et cetera?
I mean, Conner is still like a locked and loaded just volume running back because he just gets volume. It doesn't really matter. He's not going to be efficient regardless of who the quarterback was. So you're still starting him. You're still starting Hopkins. You're probably just not starting Brown anymore. Like Brown, it was good with Murray at the beginning of the season, but with Hopkins there, he's not seeing as many targets. He dud it out this week. And Trace McSorley, you know, I looked at the game log, basically looking at how often he targeted Hopkins. So he had 15 pass attempts. 6 of them went to Hopkins. So it's a 40% target share. So he knows who to throw the ball to, and it's going to Hopkins.
Deepak, not a lot of injuries means not a very long segment with you, which is always a downside. But the upside is we didn't see a lot of players get hurt, so that's always the good news. Totally. No show next week, so we will see you in a couple of weeks, Deepak.
All right. See you guys.
Want to dominate your fantasy football leagues? Well, then you need My Playbook, available only from Fantasy Pros. Struggling with the waiver wire? My Playbook lets you see who the top available players are week to week. Can't decide who to start? Compare your players side by side with detailed breakdowns and projections for each week of your fantasy season. And it's all included with your premium subscription to Fantasy Pros. So sign up today at fantasypros.com or download our free My Playbook app to your Apple or Android device. Everybody's favorite time of the show. Erickson, let's start with your quarterback headline.
Jalen Hurts so good. You know, I feel like this is my headline half the
time.
You've
used this one before, I think.
No, 100%. I probably used it multiple times. This isn't the first or second time because it's just, that's what it is, man. Like, I don't understand how he doesn't get played more in DFS. Like, my best lineup was Hurts, Devontae Smith, AJ Brown. Like, and they were all like sub 10%. Just like, whatever. Just keep rolling it out there because it just continues to work because this team isn't run heavy. The only reason it comes up as run heavy is because of Jalen Hurts running the football. So when he scores 3 rushing touchdowns, I'm just not surprised. So Jalen Hurts, I don't know if he's going to win MVP. I think that Mahomes probably, like, if you look at the actual numbers and like EPA and it's like, well, how much value is he actually adding? I think Mahomes would probably end up being the winner, but you know, the eyeball test, I mean, come on, give it to Hurts. That's who I would vote for.
Hurts has the narrative of like the Eagles have sort of been the best team all season. He hasn't won one before. I mean, Mahomes is objectively like better at quarterback, but that's not necessarily all that goes into winning an MVP, obviously. And yeah, like, I mean, it's just such a bonus to have a guy who can throw 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and still be the QB2 on the week for you. It's just a ridiculous floor when you have the rushing. Also, I really want to quickly address one of our favorite commenters, Andrew Erickson Truther, asked, is Erickson leaving Fantasy Pros or just this show? To be clear, when I said this is our last one together, it's just because we're not going to do a show next week because that's Christmas Day. We figure people want to spend time with their families. And then there's only one more week after that, which Erickson is not available to go. As far as I'm aware, he's not leaving Fantasy Pros anytime soon. Let's get to your running back headline.
Oh, this is a good one. Are you McKinnon me? Oh, talking about
that is a good
McKinnon
one.
This is one of my better ones. 10 for 52 and 1 rushing touchdown, 8 for 70 through the air and another receiving touchdown, 8 targets, season high, 18 touches, 53% opportunity share. Like, I know Pacheco was kind of like, oh, he's the guy we want to go for this week. I talked about McKinnon on the Start Sit podcast because this is what we saw last year with this team. This team loves turning the ball over to Jerick McKinnon in more ways when the season gets tighter towards the end of the line. So you need to buy into Jerick McKinnon. I know that he doesn't check off all the boxes of like, oh, he's seeing all the snaps. Like, he's playing the majority downs. Well, he's been playing the more snaps the last 2 weeks. And I don't know what the snap count was for this particular game, but he was out there a lot and he led the team in touches. So Jerick McKinnon, you got to buy him. And if you have him, you got to keep playing him. Like, he is on
how
fire.
How aggressively
right now
are you going to start ranking him for the next 2 weeks?
I mean, I had him at RB20 this week. So I was pretty high on him this week. I felt really good about him. I mean, the Texans matchup obviously warrants that you raise running backs, but his ACR was like in the 30s. So,
yeah. What's your wide receiver headline?
Just another Zay at the office, you know? Zay Jones, man. 3 touchdowns for Zay. A hat trick. Look, on the show, it was Gabe Davis or Zay Jones we were having an argument about. And I was on the Zay Jones side of things, being like, guys, like, Zay Jones actually gets targets. Gabe Davis doesn't. So Zay Jones entering this game had a 30% target share over his last 3 games. What did he do today? Oh, what do you know? 3 touchdowns, 6 catches for 109 yards. Led the team in targets. Like, just... Actually, no, he didn't lead the team in targets. He had 8 targets. Kirk and Ingram had 10 each. But, I mean, underrated player. And he plays with a good quarterback. So, Zay Jones, yeah. That's my wide receiver headline.
Same question as McKinnon. How aggressively are you ranking him for the next 2 weeks? Because you're right. This isn't a random blow up spot. He's been getting the targets for a while now.
Yeah. I mean, he's flashed a higher ceiling lately than Christian Kirk has. So I think that those guys should probably rank pretty close to each other. They are really more matchup based types of players, but the move that he put on Trevon Diggs, man, like a double move. I mean, I know Trevon Diggs can get picked on for big plays because he is very aggressive, but I mean, Zay Jones has been balling out like more often than not, especially recently. So I don't think he can come out of your lineup as like at least a wide receiver too.
So far, I mean, I know you repeated the Hurts one. I think this is your best headlines of the season. You saved the best for last. So give me your tight end headline.
Juwan Johnson touchdown machine. Because all this guy does is catch touchdowns. Like, it doesn't matter like how many routes he's running. It doesn't matter how many snaps he's playing. It's just like, oh, what do you know? Another touchdown for Juwan Johnson. He has 7 touchdowns since week 7. This dude is just a monster. 32% target share for the Saints. 4 catches for 67 yards. Again, 2 touchdowns for Juwan Johnson. I like to
start.
I mean, he is like falling into that category of, you know, Robert Tonyan, you know, was a couple of years ago. He's catching a lot of touchdowns. And is this sustainable year over year? No. But for right now, like kind of like with Christian Watson, you got to ride the wave. Just ride the wave with Juwan Johnson.
Before I move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about No House Advantage. No House Advantage is changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. Play in pick'em contests against other people for a shot at winning over $150,000 in cash. Download the app, choose a contest, select your player props, earn points for correct picks, and climb the leaderboard for your shot to win big money every week. You can also test your skills versus the house and 20 times your entry if you hit all your picks. Bet on up to 5 player prop over-unders or individual player matchups across every major sports league, including NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR. Sign up now with promo code PROS at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app in app stores to get a first deposit match up to $50. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but where you play. You won't want to miss out on this. We're going to go quickly through the Saturday games. Normally, we only focus on the games that happened today, but just so we can weigh in on this, since it was only yesterday and there were 3 of them.
Matchup recaps.
Vikings 39, Colts 36. Historic comeback, obviously, that game ended in overtime. KJ Osborne, and a lot of these numbers are going to be abnormally high because it went to overtime and because it was such a crazy comeback. Lots of passing, you know, trying to get back into the game. KJ Osborne, 10 catches, 157 yards, and a touchdown. A whopping 16 targets. Adam Thielen, just 41 yards. He did get a touchdown. Justin Jefferson, of course, what we always expect. 12 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown. Also on 16 targets. Do you think KJ Osborne is relevant enough to be worthy of considering starting in the next 2 weeks of the fantasy season?
No, because if you look at the games that he's actually done anything in, it's 2 against the Lions, who are horrible against slot receivers. And the Colts didn't have Kenny Moore, who is their starting slot cornerback. So unless the next matchup they have is particularly good against the slot receiver or four slot receiver, then you're not going after KJ Osborne.
Dalvin Cook had 17 carries, 95 yards. That's on the ground. He also had 95 yards through the air and a receiving touchdown. Kirk Cousins, 460 yards, 4 touchdowns, also 2 picks. TJ Hockenson, 3 for 33 on 9 targets. Is Cousins somebody you're starting confidently in the next 2 weeks?
I think so. I mean, he's got weapons. I know he looked. Yeah. I know I told someone to start Cousins, and after the first half, I was like, "Oh man, that person must hate my guts right now." But it turned out to be the right call. So I was excited. Yeah, but he just got too many weapons. Like, especially when you play in a dome, and their defense sucks so badly. Like, it's so bad that they have to throw. So
we talked about the running backs a little bit already. Zach Moss, 24 carries, 81 yards. Deion Jackson, 13 for 55, and then Michael Pittman, 10 catches on 14 targets. That's notable, A, because it's a lot, and B, because nobody else on the Colts saw more than 4 targets. So he got every pass that Matt Ryan was throwing. Those aren't the most valuable passes. He only had 60 yards, and it's not a good offense, so he didn't score a touchdown, even though they, you know, a lot of their scoring, I know they got in the 30s, but, you know, defense, special teams, that sort of thing. But still, obviously, the only guy that's, you know, the alpha in the offense and the only guy that's even worth considering starting. Vikings host the Giants on Saturday next week, and I'll just say, almost every game is on Saturday next week. There's only 3 Sunday games on Christmas Day. The rest are all Saturday, Christmas Eve. So just be aware of that when you're setting your lineups and getting ready for everything this week. The Vikings are going to host the Giants. The Colts are actually playing on Monday Night Football. They will host the Chargers. Browns 13, Ravens 3. I want to talk about J.K. Dobbins. 13 carries, 125 rushing yards. Across the last 2 weeks, he's averaging 8.75 yards per carry. Only has the 1 touchdown across the last 2 weeks. It feels like they're not running him enough, even though when you watch him, the eye test, it still feels like he's missing that extra burst, that fifth gear that we're so used to seeing him, you know, back at Ohio State and early on, you know, his rookie season in Baltimore. And yet these numbers are really impressive.
I mean, it helps that he's playing really bad, like run defenses.
It does help.
I mean, you play the Browns, like you're going to get boosted numbers. He's playing the Falcons next week. So you're going to see another boosted numbers from J.K. Dobbins. So unless they fall behind, which I don't think is going to happen just based on what we saw from Desmond Ridder today. As long as the game is close, like he's not going to get game scripted out, because I know that they like using Justice Hill as like the receiver a little bit more. But Dobbins is still the guy they're going to give the ball the majority of early down work to.
Is Dobbins doing enough that you're kind of ruling out Gus Edwards unless it's a true desperation deep league play?
Yeah, I mean, Gus Edwards barely played. Like, he played like less than like 20% of the snaps on Saturday. So, like, yeah, he gets some carries, but doesn't catch passes. He has to score, basically, is what you're hoping for.
You can forget about Tyler Huntley being a viable guy. I mean, just given the rushing upside, people sort of look at him as, like, oh, well, maybe you can stream him if you need it in a good matchup. I mean, he looked really bad in this game. Not that I think the rest of the team did him any favors. You know, the receivers were dropping passes and turning the ball over. I was not a fan of the play calling by Greg Roman. But Huntley also didn't look good. Mark Andrews also 3 for 31 on 7 targets. I've been asking for the last couple of weeks because he's been bad for the last couple of weeks. If you're in the fantasy semifinals, are you starting Mark Andrews? And let's assume Lamar's not back.
I mean, it depends on what your alternative is. Like, what if you, okay, if you started Mark Andrews or Pat Freiermuth today, that was smart. Like he got 0 points. Like, Dalton Schultz was horrible today. And Joker wasn't good. Like, it just goes to, you know, if you tried to take a flyer on Jeff Driscoll, like, that didn't work either. So, unless you're just so like, oh, this is such an obvious option. Like, if you want to, like, an Evan Ingram type player, like, okay, I get that. Like, Evan Ingram's been playing very well, and Andrews has not been. So, unless you have that type of option, you're probably just playing Andrews. If you're not, like, there's no point swapping him out for just another bad tight end. So.
Yeah, that's fair. Nick Chubb, 21 for 99 on the ground. Deshaun Watson, 18 for 28, 161 yards. He had a touchdown. Probably the best he's looked, I guess. I mean, still, he just doesn't look good. I mean, you're just clearly avoiding him, you know, even if you have a need at quarterback. At least I would say that right now. Donovan Peoples-Jones caught a touchdown as well. Ravens host the Falcons next week. The Browns host the Saints. Last game on Saturday, Bills 32, Dolphins 29. Another really fun game. Raheem Mostert, 17 carries, 136 yards. He also had 20 yards, you know, through the air on one catch. No Jeff Wilson in this game. How much of a must start is Mostert in any game that Wilson isn't playing?
I mean, yeah, definitely like top 20 guy. I think for sure he should be.
Would
locked
you go like
loaded.
Top 12 or just more in that 20 range?
No, because the Dolphins usually can't run the football. Like their identity is not really running the football. They want to throw the ball, and just think the elements played into them. Like, let's establish the run a little bit more. The Bills we've seen give up a lot of rushing production in certain games this year, so it made sense that their game plan involved more Raheem Mostert, less of Tua. Obviously, Tua hit on a couple big plays, like the one to Waddle, which obviously boosted his numbers. But the game, you know, their offense was, especially in the first half, it was like all running game.
Waddle 3 for 114 and a touchdown on 7 targets. Tyreek Hill had 13 targets, 9 for 69 and a touchdown. Tua ended up with 234 yards and 2 touchdowns, no picks. Josh Allen, QB1 on the week. I think actually, I don't think Trevor Lawrence passed him.
No,
25 of 40. 300 yards, 304 to be exact, 4 touchdowns, 10 for 77 on the ground. Dawson Knox, 6 for 98 and a touchdown on 8 targets. Stephon Diggs, 5 for 60 on 9 targets. Gabe Davis, 4 for 56. Devin Singletary, 13 for 42 and 3 for 28 through the air. I know that's a lot of numbers. Of those, Dawson Knox is sort of the one that stands out to me.
Yep. Yeah. So again, another guy, if you want to start Dawson Knox over Mark Andrews, I think that's fine. He's starting to ascend more. He's seeing more targets in the offense. They're trusting him more. And I mean, Diggs has just kind of been like, he's been okay. Like, he's getting the targets, you're still starting him, but he has not had these blow-up games in a really long time because I think they're just spreading the ball out more. So I think Knox is a good option.
The Bills are at the Bears on Saturday. The Packers actually are one of the 3 Sunday games. Excuse me, the Dolphins are, and they're hosting the Packers. Let's take a very quick second to remind the listeners, if they want even more access to our analysts all week long, be sure to join us on Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. A premium subscription will get listeners full access to our analysts through AMAs, stages, and more. Let's get into the Sunday early afternoon slate, Saints 21, Falcons 18. To me, Tyler Algier was the big takeaway. 17 carries, 139 rushing yards, and a touchdown. Is he their RB1 rest of season?
I think it's still like a committee between the two guys. I mean, you saw Cordell Patterson still had 14 carries for 52 yards. Patterson had more targets. Both guys had carries inside the 5-yard line. Algier just had a couple more bigger runs. Like, he had a 43-yard run, so he ripped off a couple more bigger chunks. But I think it's just important that Caleb Huntley got hurt in this game. So we went from a 3-man committee to a 2-man committee on a team that wants to run the football. So I think both guys, I think Algier still has flex appeal when you're looking at who they're going to be playing. They're playing, you know, the Ravens. Again, it's a tough run defense, but, you know, the Saints are a tough run defense. The Falcons are just one of those teams that can run the football on anybody, so it doesn't really matter. So I think both guys are kind of falling into the flex appeal position. I don't expect the Ravens to, like, run up the score on the Falcons, so you don't necessarily need Patterson's pass game usage. I want to point out Desmond Ridder's 26 passing attempts. Marcus Mariota had 3 games all year with at least 26 passing.
Wow.
So we are seeing a little bit more passing volume just in his first start. And that's obviously great for Drake London, as we'll get into.
Well, did you see enough from Ridder to be confident? London did get 11 targets, you know, on just 26 passes. So a huge share, 7 for 70 for Drake London. Did you see enough out of Ridder that even if he is getting more passing attempts than Mariota, it's good enough to support London being a fantasy viable guy for the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, because he was honing on him. Like, nobody else saw more than three targets. So it's like, we drop back to throw, where's Drake London? Like, that's basically what he was doing. And this is back-to-back weeks. You know, obviously he had the bye week, but before the bye week, Drake London had 11 targets. And he's had 70 receiving or 95 receiving yards or on 12 targets. So he's had back-to-back games with at least 11 targets, at least 70 receiving yards. You know, that's good enough for me. Two games in a row of that type of production, and with the first game with a new quarterback, gets it done immediately. That's good enough for me. He's like a top 30 guy.
I can't remember if we gave the line for Juwan Johnson, but so just to say it, 4 catches, 67 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Team high 6 targets for him. Alvin Kamara, 21 for 91, no touchdown. He also had 2 catches on 2 targets. Taysom Hill, 7 for 30 rushing. He also had 80 yards through the air. The long passing touchdown, of course. Chris Olave, 3 catches, 53 yards, just 4 targets. How much is the shine sort of worn off on Olave in this offense?
So the thing with Olave, and this is why I was always like super hesitant to buying in on him, like super aggressively in dynasty drafts, was he was the most pro ready rookie coming out, no doubt in my mind. So that's why he was the first kind of to fire and kind of be productive from the get go. But we haven't really seen him like improve over the year. You know what I mean? Like, it's been very consistent production, like from the beginning, like he hit the ground running, but he has not popped off even like a Treylon Burks games or Garrett Wilson's games. Like, he hasn't done that. And I always just felt like that was his profile, was he's going to be a really, really solid receiver, but is he like actually a true number one? That was my concern. And I think we're kind of starting to see that a little bit. Now, I don't want to write the guy off. Like, obviously he's still super productive as a rookie, but maybe, you know, outside the top 20 is really where he should be rest of the season. Obviously the quarterback play is not great in New Orleans either. Like Andy Dalton and having mixing in Taysom Hill and things like that. But I mean, Rashid Shaheed, like this guy's also a rookie too. And he's actually outproduced Chris Olave over the last 2 weeks. So if you are in a dynasty league and Rashid Shaheed is on the waiver wire, add him and stash him, because he's been very efficient this year and he's a rookie too. So just kind of a name to point out.
I traded Damian Pierce for Chris Olave. And technically, since Pierce is on IR, I won that trade, but it doesn't really feel like it because Olave hasn't been.
Well, I mean, I think in the long term, I think it's still probably.
Oh, no, this is just a redraft. So.
Oh, just a redraft.
Yeah. So not super helping either of us. Well, I'll just read through the schedule. Browns host the Saints on Saturday next week. The Falcons are at the Ravens. Steelers 24, Panthers 16. Najee Harris, 24 carries, 86 yards, and a touchdown. Deontay Johnson, 10 catches, 98 yards, team high 10 targets. George Pickens had that 1 catch down the sideline, but just finished with 2 catches overall for 53 yards on his 5 targets. Jaylen Warren had 11 carries and got into the end zone. Any major takeaways there? Deontay Johnson going 10 for 10 on his targets is pretty unlike him this season.
I mean, it's because he has Trubisky. Like, he's just better with Trubisky. Like, just look at the game. It's, like, not hard to see. Like, 10 for 10 with Deontay Johnson has, like, literally never happened at any point this season. Like, this is the most efficient game he has ever had. So, if Pickett comes back, though, like, you just got to downgrade Deontay. And it works in the reversal with Pickens. Like, Pickett is better with Pickens. Trubisky and Deontay have a better connection together. And I think that has to do just with Trubisky being, like, a veteran quarterback. Like, rookie quarterbacks tend to just be worse overall for pass catchers. Like, no matter what the rookie is, like his profile, it's just veterans at least know like who their alpha is. That's who they go to. And we've obviously seen with Deontay multiple games now. He's just better with Trubisky.
On the Panthers side, which stat line stands out more to you? DJ Moore's good game, 5 catches, 73 yards and a touchdown, team high 6 targets. Or the running back's bad games, Hubbard and Foreman combined for 14 carries for 19 yards. Which of those sort of nuggets stands out more to you?
I mean, it just shows you what offense with Sam Darnold is like with the defense. They're just not afraid at all of him throwing the ball. Like, they're just not afraid of him taking shots downfield. So they're crowding the line of scrimmage. That's why there's no running game to be spoken of in Carolina, even though Carolina's run game has been really good, you know, all season long. So it's good that DJ Moore does it all the time. Like, and this is why he always finishes every year as a wide receiver too, because he has these horrible games with bad quarterbacks, but then he pops up these really great plays, really great catches. And then we're going to be like, oh, like we can trust DJ Moore again. And then next week he's going to suck. But at the end of the day, he's going to finish as a wide receiver 19. And we'll be like, DJ Moore, wide receiver 2.
The Steelers are going to host the Raiders. That's on Saturday night. And then the Panthers will host the Lions Saturday afternoon. Eagles 25, Bears 20. I want to actually start with one of the negatives in this game. Miles Sanders, just 11 carries, 42 yards, and a lost fumble. He didn't touch the ball early at all. So most of that production, I say in heavy air quotes, came late. What's the concern level here? Is this just a fluke bad game?
I mean, this is just Miles Sanders' MO in this offense. Like, he's always splitting work with the goal line with other running backs and Jalen Hurts. He doesn't catch passes. And when he does, he drops them a lot of the time. Like, he had one catch here for negative 13 yards. Like, that's what I'm pretty sure he fumbled on the catch. I think that's exactly what happened. I think he fumbled on the catch, but it's one of these things with Sanders that when things are set up right for him and he's getting the goal line work and he's just ripping off like these massive runs, like that's when he's effective. But there are a lot of ways in which Miles Sanders can fail, even when the game script looks like it's going to be great for him, because this offense has so many other options to kind of feed it through. And I talked about it earlier. You know, the Eagles aren't a run first offense. Like, they're more than happy to throw the ball, which is why we saw both AJ Brown and Devontae Smith go over 100 yards in this game, because the Bears defense is also horrible against the pass. So I was really high on Hurts and Smith and AJ Brown this week. That's who I played DFS, and I was happy about that.
Well, it's literally the perfect box score if you were invested in this offense outside of Miles Sanders, because Jalen Hurts threw for 315 passing yards. 307 of those went to either AJ Brown or Devontae Smith. Literally 8 passing yards went to people other than the two guys that we care about in fantasy. So AJ Brown, 9 for 181 on 16 targets. Smith, 5 for 126 on 8 targets. And then Justin Fields, a couple other just crazy highlight plays. He's an incredible runner. The third quarterback in NFL history to rush for 1,000 yards in a season. Lamar's done it twice. Vic did it once. Fields was 14 of 21 passing, also threw for 2 touchdowns and 150 yards. Of course, he had the 95 yards on the ground. David Montgomery had a much better game than I expected. He got in the end zone twice, which helped. 12 for 53 on the ground, 3 for 38 through the air, got in the end zone both ways. That's against a tough rush defense in the Eagles.
I mean, they're not that tough. I mean, I know they had to add.
They're not a pushover. They're not the Browns.
They're not the Browns, but they still had to add guys like Linville Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, like out off like the couch to like fix their run defense where they got lit up by like the Commanders, you know, about a month ago. So I think it was still a beatable matchup. Montgomery's still the bell cow. However, Khalil Herbert is going to be coming off IR. So again, if you need a stash running back, Khalil Herbert is a good guy to add just in case they go back to him. I don't know what his role is going to be necessarily. And they do face the Lions, I think, in 2 weeks. But I think Herbert's still a guy that you should try to add if you're still in contention.
Bears host the Bills next week. Eagles are at the Cowboys on Saturday. That is a massive game, even though the Cowboys lost today. Chiefs 30, Texans 24 in overtime. One of the surprises of the day, just that game with this, you know, line. I think the spread was 14 points by the time it closed, that this game would go to overtime. Once again, the Texans, huge underdogs and sort of making a really good team sweat. Royce Freeman was the guy getting the rushes, 11 for 51. Ogunbowale only had 8 for 14. I thought, you know, it was going to be Dare. That was the guy that sort of stood out. And if not him, maybe Burkhead. But it was Freeman that they turned to.
Well, Ogunbowale started the game, and he also led the team in carries in the first half, 7 carries for 12 yards. They didn't really get used Freeman until like later in the game. So, look, I'm just going to save us a lot of time here. And they're playing the Titans next week. Like, you're not playing any of these guys against
them. Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to save people time here. It's like, do not try to parse between, like, Burkhead, Ogunbowale. It's a mess, and they're playing the number one run defense next week, so just don't play any of them.
Great point. Davis Mills, 12 for 24 passing, 2 passing touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. The Titans aren't as good against the pass. Desperation QB2, Davis Mills, or just don't even bother?
I think just Chris Moore is still someone that, you know, he's still seeing a steady target.
9 targets for Moore today.
Yep, which he basically did all in the beginning of the game because it happened very, very fast that he was getting production, and then he just like did not see any more volume, or he didn't catch any of the passes like that were thrown his way in the later portions of the game. But yeah, he's been a consistent guy depending on whether it's Chris or whether it's Mills or Jeff Driscoll under center or whatever.
Isaiah Pacheco, 15 for 86 rushing. Travis Kelce, 10 for 105 on 10 targets. Pretty much lines we expect from those guys. Jerick McKinnon, we already talked about. Mahomes, 36 to 41 for 336 yards, 2 touchdowns, also a rushing touchdown. Just an absurd player. Like, he is so unfair. Juju Smith-Schuster, 10 catches on 10 targets for 88 yards as well. So most of the Chiefs guys, even though a lot of them didn't blow up outside of Mahomes and McKinnon, the other guys still produce for you a bit. Texans are at the Titans, like you mentioned. The Chiefs are going to host the Seahawks, that game also on Saturday. Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about Pristine Auction. Pristine Auction is the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. Auctions at pristineauction.com start at just $1, and each day there are over 1,000 autographed items available, so you win authentic signatures at affordable prices. And they have just about every player you could want, including Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and so much more. Every item on Pristine Auction comes with a certificate of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators. Upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item won when you use code FANTASY, one word. Be sure to sign up now at pristineauction.com/register because there are deals ending every day. Again, that's code FANTASY for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia on pristineauction.com/register. Jaguars 40, Cowboys 34, again in overtime. We talked about Zay Jones already. Christian Kirk had 6 catches, 92 yards on 10 targets. Evan Ingram also had 10 targets, 8 catches, 62 yards, coming off of his super blow-up game. Travis Etienne, 19 carries, 103 yards, 24 yards through the air as well. And then Trevor Lawrence, 27 of 42, 318 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick, also 21 yards on the ground. I posed this question on Twitter, and I'm curious for you too. As of right now, if you had to rank out your 2023 quarterback rankings, where are you taking Trevor Lawrence at that position?
I think I'm probably going to take him like in the Joe Burrow tier, like probably is where I'm going to take him. I think that the strategy, and I'm stealing this from Rich Rebar from Sharp Football Stats, basically, you know, no longer are the days of late round quarterback, but it's the days of you want to take the latest elite quarterback. That's like the new strategy. So like, you don't want to take Josh Allen first because you take him in the second round and then someone takes Mahomes in round 5. You're like, wow, like what? I feel like an idiot now. So like that was my strategy a lot this year, especially in best ball, was Hurts. Like because Hurts was like always kind of like at that end of the elite tier. So depending on if we view Trevor Lawrence as an elite quarterback, like he could end up being one of those late elite tier type of players, assuming he takes another step forward. And I mean, he might, because you know who's getting back next year is Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley.
So yep. With Zay Jones, who's already locked up a contract, basically you're going to replace Marvin Jones with Calvin Ridley. That is a very massive upgrade. You have Kirk in the slot, Evan Ingram at tight end. Like that's a lot of weapons to work with. So and Etienne. So
yeah. I really think Hurts is the ideal comp if you're looking at the high end optimism, because Hurts added an elite receiver in the offseason. Not that Ridley is as good at this point in his career as A.J. Brown is, but you're adding a really talented receiver to a guy that has shown a lot of really good flashes. I mean, Lawrence has been better this year than Hurts was last year. But it was a guy who was going in that QB like 7 to 10 range who had the QB1 upside. So I think Lawrence is going to be a very popular mid-round draft pick of that back end of the elite guys. I'm fully with you there.
Yeah. And I think just to hit on one last thing. So because the Jaguars still have a bad record, it means they're still going to play like a favorable schedule. Like you'll notice like a lot of teams fall off when they win the division, you know, especially a bad division, and they have to play a tough schedule the next year. And it's like, oh, they weren't as good. So yeah, because they were playing a bunch of bad teams. So you should have a favorable schedule too.
On the Cowboys side of things, CeeDee Lamb, 7 catches, 126 yards, 7 targets. Noah Brown, 2 touchdowns. He had 49 yards, 9 targets. Is that notable to you or sort of just a random fluke?
It's just flip-flopping between him and Gallup. Like you can't trust either of them because like 1 week it's Gallup, 1 week it's Noah Brown. Lamb just gets targets and just doesn't. Lamb is super frustrating because he's seeing all the targets you could possibly want, and he's just not putting up the big games. Like, it's fine production. Like, he's been fine, but we expected way more blow-up games for him.
I mean, this was it was more than a fine game. It's just he didn't get in the end zone.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had 126 yards. I mean, that's obviously a really good day at the office. Tony Pollard, 19 carries, 75 yards, also 31 through the air. Ezekiel Elliott, 58 yards on 16 carries. And a rushing touchdown. Dak Prescott, 23 of 30, 256 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. Cowboys host the Eagles on Saturday. The Jaguars are at the Jets. That's on Thursday night football. That doesn't sound like a fun Thursday night game, but it is. I mean, Jags, Jets, those teams look different than they certainly did at the beginning of the season. Last game on the early afternoon slate, Lions 20, those same Jets 17. Zach Wilson, 18 of 35, passing, 317 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick in his return in place of the injured Mike White. What did you make of Wilson in this game?
I mean, he's just more inaccurate. Like, he completed just like run 50% of his passes. I mean, if you just look at the box score, like, you see a lot of targets and you see not a lot of receptions, like with a lot of the players next to him, you're like, okay, like, this is why we don't like Zach Wilson as a quarterback. And that's why. But Garrett Wilson got it done, QB proof, 98 receiving yards. He only did have four catches, like, because that's how good he is. And it's not because Zach Wilson is, he's definitely a downgrade, but you know, this is now a couple games that Garrett Wilson has had with Zach Wilson that he has put up good numbers, just not as good. So, I mean, just tells you how good of a player Garrett Wilson is. Like, I think we need to be super aggressive ranking him next year in 2023. Like, I mean, I'm thinking like second round pick, and maybe that's too aggressive, but I don't see why not, honestly.
I think you're going to get him in all your leagues if you're taking him in the second round. I don't think a lot of other people are going to do that. It's aggressive. I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong, but I think that's probably higher than most people are, although I might be wrong. We'll see where people
I guess I'm trying to
summer.
Figure out, like, what... I mean, I don't want to, like, say that he's having the same rookie year as Justin Jefferson, but it looks pretty close. Like, maybe not numbers-wise, but, like, the talent on the field looks elite, and... You know, if you drafted Jefferson more aggressively going into his second year, I mean, now he were talking about him as like number one overall pick.
Yeah.
So I think maybe second round is too aggressive, but just being aggressive on Garrett Wilson, I think should be the move in 2023.
How much do you care about the fact that Elijah Moore actually got seven targets in the game quarterbacked by Zach Wilson?
I think it's good. Corey Davis didn't play. Denzel Mims got hurt. There was a lot of Jeff Smith action because I was watching this particular game alongside Red Zone. And like every time I looked up, it was Jeff Smith making another play, who also got hurt in this game. So, I mean, by war of attrition, Elijah Moore still getting looks. So, yeah, definitely encouraging that his role is increasing. And he's a good player. Like, we know he's a good player.
Nothing doing on the running game for the Jets. We knew that going in because the Lions run defense
is
weirdly.
Are people going to open their eyes to this? Since week 6, the fewest fantasy points per game to running backs. Stop playing running backs against the Lions.
And they, like, how many elite guys do they need? Not that Knight and Carter are elite, but they've shut down elite guys like Saquon and Dalvin Cook. And so, of course, they're going to shut down the just more average types like Knight, a 13 for 23 on the ground. Michael Carter, 4 for 15. CJ Uzama had 2 touchdowns. I assume we don't really care about that.
He just got the touchdowns. Conklin,
those are the only 2
more.
Targets.
Yeah, I mean, Conklin probably played more. Like, and you're just going to look big. Oh, Uzama like played like 30% of the snaps and scored 2 touchdowns. Like, well, that's like the OJ Howard stat line from week 1 that we all told people not to chase. Yeah. So yeah, don't chase unless something like pops out about his usage that would be different, which I haven't dove into yet. Stay tuned for that, but I would assume it's probably not.
DeAndre Swift, 75 combined yards on 13 touches. Jamal Williams, 13 for 33 on the ground. Another inefficient day for him. He did get into the end zone, and then it was called back on penalty, unfortunately. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 7 catches, 76 yards, and a team-high 10 targets. I don't think there's really much to take away on the Lions side. Is there anything that pops out to you, or can we move on?
What are they, I mean, it's a tough matchup for their pass catchers. So, like, DJ Chark didn't do anything this game. Like, that doesn't mean you write him off because they're playing the Panthers next week.
I saw somebody put on Twitter that they basically just decided to sacrifice Chark to Sauce Gardner. And
because he lines up on one side of the field, and that's what they're like, all right, we'll just put him over there. And that's like, well, you're not going to do anything today. Yeah. And that's why I told people to sit Chark, because it's like, you can't play him this week. Like, different matchup, but it'll get better next week.
Yeah. All right, let's move to I'll just read through the schedule. The Jets are going to host the Jaguars on Thursday. Lions are at the Panthers on Saturday. Let's move to Cardinals at Broncos. Obviously, given the quarterback situation, there's not a ton to take away from here. We already mentioned that Trace McSorley came in. He threw 2 interceptions. He was 7 for 15 on the day. James Conner, 16 for 63 and a touchdown, as you mentioned, will continue to be the volume king for Arizona. DeAndre Hopkins had 11 targets, team high, 7 catches and 60 yards. Not a ton else that stood out there. Anything on the Cardinals side for you?
I mean, Greg Dulcich is just like a roller coaster of inconsistency. He's a rookie. So like, that's why it's as hard to rely on him week to week, even if the matchup is good. Jerry Judy's going to get all the targets when there's no Cortland Sutton, regardless of whoever the quarterback is. So, you know, he's fine as a wide receiver to play. And I mean, Latavius Murray, like he's their bell cow. Like, and the Cardinals run defense can get run over. So I was concerned that they were going to use Mac a little bit more, but Murray just, 24 carries for 130 yards. I know Mac scored 2 and was the more involved as like the receiver, but they just want to use Latavius Murray. And it's so weird that this backfield was like, Javonte and Melvin Gordon, and both those were awful picks that turned out to be, and it was Latavius Murray that was going to lead this backfield. Yeah. Like, sick.
I appreciate that I said anything else on the Cardinals side, and your response was to transition to the Broncos
side.
That's
basically summarizing it.
Yes, I think that tells you everything you need to know about the Cardinals side. I think you hit on everything with the Broncos. Just very quickly, like Latavius Murray next week, let's see, they are facing the Rams on Sunday. By the way, that's like Christmas.
The Nickelodeon game.
Broncos,
let's go.
Rams. Holy cow, is that a game I do not want to watch? Please spend time with your family instead of making them suffer through that game. But in that game, Latavius Murray coming off of this huge day, like if you had to just guess right now, give me a number, where are you ranking him?
He's probably top 24. Like he's getting all the work, and the Rams have just been a defense that's been just kind of beaten. Aaron Donald's not playing, like he's hurt. So I think that the Latavius Murray's going to be a strong play.
The Cardinals are going to host the Buccaneers on Sunday. Let's get to Patriots at Raiders. This was the crazy one that I'm sure you don't want to dwell on too much. The ending, Raiders 30, Patriots 24. Ramondre Stevenson, though, 19 carries, 172 yards, and a touchdown. Banged up all week. Probably the guy I got the most questions on this week on Twitter. And he came out and looked like an absolute stud. I mean, obviously, now that we can see he's pretty clearly healthy, back to being a must-start rest of the way. But, I mean, he just looked awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just a monster, man. He's so good and did not look limited at all. Like I was concerned, like just like will the numbers match how he actually looked? Was it just like one big run? Yeah. It's like no, like he was making jukes. It didn't look like he was inhibited by his ankle whatsoever. And really, it was the only thing that they did in the second half was giving him the ball more that really turned the tide. Now they did use Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris more than they ever did before. Like Stevenson was not playing on every single snap, so that was a little bit different. As they kind of were probably like weaning him back in a little bit, but still saw over 20 carries or 20 touches overall. So even if Pierre Strong and Kevin Harris are like sprinkling in, which that role could just be taken over by Damian Harris, it's still going to be Ramondre, you know, 70% of the workload versus insert Patriots running back, other Patriots running back here.
He did nothing out of the backfield through the air, negative 4 yards receiving. But when you have 172 rushing, you certainly don't care about that. Josh Jacobs on the other side, 22 carries, 93 yards. They rushed the ball 23 times. He got 22 of the carries, obviously, you know, the workhorse there. Nothing of note, just didn't get in the end zone. What I want to ask you about with the Raiders is Darren Waller back on the field, 3 catches on 3 targets, 48 yards, and a really nice looking touchdown. Can he be the answer to our non-Travis Kelce tight end problems in fantasy football?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, the thing with him is he's just never been healthy. like he's just been hurt all year long. And if he's not hurt anymore, then yeah, I'm excited to play him. Now, I know Foster Moreau did play in this game, too. Like, he had a couple catches. So I'm interested to see how the split was between the two guys. It wouldn't surprise me if it is, you know, more of a 50-50, 75-25. But I would expect that to probably increase in Waller's favor as he's another game removed from his injury. But Hunter Renfrow is still like, he was irrelevant in this game. I mean, Keelan Cole's been doing nothing all year. And then of course the game where everyone is back, he does catch the game winning touchdown or the tying touchdown, I should say. Cause Chandler Jones caught the game winning touchdown and then ran into the end zone from Jacoby Myers. So yeah, that was fun.
Matt Collins, 40 yards and a touchdown, 8 targets. Davante Adams led the team in targets, unsurprisingly, but just 4 catches, 28 yards. So the Patriots did a really good job of bottling him up. Next week, the Raiders are at the Steelers on Saturday night. The Patriots are going to host the Bengals. That's Saturday afternoon. Let's go to Titans at Chargers. We know that Austin Eckler was banged up and left in this one. So Josh Kelly did get in the end zone, but Eckler came back in this one. So they each ended up scoring a rushing touchdown. Herbert, 313 yards, no touchdowns. He did throw 2 picks. Keenan Allen, 8 for 86 on a team high 9 targets. Mike Williams, 4 for 67 on 8 targets. Josh Palmer, 5 for 49. Not a whole lot of standouts there. The Chargers won this game, by the way, 17-14.
Yeah, it was a lot of pass rush in Justin Herbert's face. Like their offensive line is still like a mess. And even though the Titans are a team that you can throw on, like you do need to like create time for your quarterback to like have time to throw the ball down the field. So that's kind of why he wasn't super spectacular in this particular matchup. But and then like the Titans were dealing with injuries. So it's like the game went from like, oh, like this is going to hit the over real quick to like, this game's going to go through the mud because it was a kind of a gross game, but yeah, you're still starting the same guys basically from the Chargers, and Eckler's, he's healthy. So he came back in the game. So it should be fine.
Derrick Henry did exactly what we expected him to do against the run defense like the Chargers have. 21 carries, 104 yards, and a touchdown. If anything, that was like less than you would have expected. He also had 59 yards through the air, 4 catches on 4 targets. Chigga Conquo, 4 catches, also 54 yards on 5 targets. He was the leading guy. That's not a running back. But obviously, this passing offense is just nothing of note. We talked about Tannehill at the top of the show already. I think we just move on from that game, honestly. Titans are going to host the Texans on Saturday. The Chargers are at the Colts on Monday Night Football. Last game on the slate, Bengals at Bucks. Let me pull up the box score here. Bengals 34, Bucks 23. We'll start with the winning side, the Bengals. Samaje Perine actually had the most rushing yards in this one. 7 carries, 24 yards. Joe Mixon, 11 carries, 21 yards. We know when healthy, Tampa Bay has a really strong run defense, and the Bengals really struggled to rush the ball in this one.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals aren't the most effective running team anyway. They're better when they're trying to throw the ball. And I was actually really surprised like to see the final box score here because the Buccaneers were up like 17-0 in this game. And
oh, yeah.
the Bengals just kind of came. I was like, all right, yeah. The announcer was like, the Buccaneers offense is finally firing on all cylinders. I'm like, oh my God, it only took 15 weeks. And then we know it sputters out and then they lose.
And they turned the ball over 4 straight possessions or whatever it was.
So it's another, yeah. That's just the Buccaneers offense this year.
Burrow, 200 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a pick. Jamar Chase led the team with 13 targets, unsurprising. Just 60 yards, that's a little surprising, on 7 catches, 1 touchdown. This is kind of nice because Chase, Boyd, and Higgins each got in the end zone. The other guys didn't really do a lot. Like I said, Burrow only threw for 200 yards, so there wasn't a ton of yardage to go around, but getting the end zone is obviously, you know, it sort of saves your day fantasy-wise. On the Tampa side, Tom Brady did throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. He had the 2 picks. Leonard Fournette, 10 for 44 on the ground. Rashad White, 11 for 38 on the ground. Obviously not good days from them either. Chris Godwin, 8 catches on 8 targets, 83 yards, and a touchdown. Russell Gage had 2 touchdowns. He led the team in targets, actually, with 12. 8 catches, 59 yards, and those 2 touchdowns. Are you considering him? He's probably available in leagues, or would you be picking him up?
I think that he's kind of interesting. They're playing the Cardinals. I mean, Julio Jones is obviously didn't play in this game, so that gave Russell Gage a boost, and he's healthy. Like Russell Gage, was a offseason darling because we thought he was going to fill in the role for Godwin, and then he got hurt, and then just never got healthy.
Remember when Russell Gage was an offseason darling?
He was. Man. He was an offseason
so
darling.
And then we were just, so young.
He got hurt, and then just kind of fizzled out. But he's healthy now. And wait, so what did you say Mike Evans' box line was?
I didn't. He had 5 catches, 83 yards, and 10 targets, second most on the team.
Okay. So he was okay. But yeah, he didn't get in the end zone. So yeah, I think Russell Gage is interesting. They're playing the Cardinals next week, so beatable secondary, and there's just a lot of passing. I guess the one thing is if Julio comes back, then it just adds another wrinkle to, well, you know, how often he's going to be involved. So there's a concern there, but it's not like Julio's been the bill of health this year, so there's no guarantee he's going to even come back.
Bengals are at the Patriots on Saturday. Bucks, as you mentioned, are at the Cardinals. In that Cardinals game, are you going back to the well with Rashad White? We got a lot of complaints about him on Twitter, about him doing nothing today. The Bengals are a good defense generally. Would you trust him against Arizona?
I mean, we've seen Arizona just get shredded the last 2 weeks. We just saw them get, a couple weeks ago with the Patriots running backs today. So I think that he's going to be fine. I don't know what the touch distribution. I know you said the carries were pretty close between Rashad White. I'd like to be interested to see what the snaps were. I'll have to look more into that, with the usage report. So keep your eyes peeled for that nice little teaser. Cause I just don't know. I just don't know right now. Wait till Thursday.
We'll wrap it up there. Thanks everybody for tuning in all season long. And please remember to join us live in 2 weeks. We will not be here on Christmas night. So join us live in 2 weeks to wrap up week 17 and the entire fantasy season. Also, for more advice and insights, check out our Discord server as well. And of course, remember all the options we mentioned with Pristine Auction and No House Advantage. Most of all, thank you, the fans, for listening all season long. For Erickson and Deepak, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you guys again in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.